Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There may be a time in the morning, even tonight after service, where you have to sing that chorus again or sing the bridge. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. There may be no reason from the world's perspective to keep on trusting him, and yet you just keep encouraging yourself in the Lord and telling the Lord, I'm going to trust you. Amen. He's good to us. Praise the Lord. I tell Pastor, and I've told many other ministers this, we have the best pastor in the world at this church. I say that without me sending him this CD tonight. I say that because I believe it. And he sets the bar very high, like every service, all right? It's hard to follow him. And we've discussed that, ministers, the lay ministers in the church. That's a good thing, all right? It'd be bad if it was easy to beat your pastor, all right? So it's a good thing. But even beyond that, it's hard when your pastor preaches the sermon you felt was on your heart this morning, all right? I text him after service, and I said, hey, you hit about four or five of my scriptures for this evening and pretty much every point. So he said, that's confirmation, brother. Go for it. All right? So I do love our pastor, and I'm just going to take it as the Lord is trying to drive home something to us tonight. When I was in school here at Union Pentecostal Church School, Sister Norvell and Sister Dearth, Sister Gavon and others taught us a song out of the scriptures, 1 John 4:7-8. Anytime I read this scripture, I hear that song sang in my mind. All right, so Sister Norvell and the rest of our teachers, you have left an impact, Sister Dearth, on my life. I cannot read this text without singing it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. All right, so we would sing that song, and that made an impact on my life. All right, if I had a guitar, knew how to play it. I've got one, but I don't know how to play it. I would have brought that up here tonight, but that's all right. This passage of Scripture is a profound insight into the heart of Christ. 1 John was written by John the Beloved, the same John that leaned upon the chest of Christ at the Last Supper, the same John that was loved by Christ. He knew what it was like to be close to him as a friend. He understood how Jesus loved people. It's amazing to me how, and I'm not saying this about this church, I've been out in the nation and met folks who have told me I'm a Christian, and they were the most hateful, anti-loving people in the world. And I walked away asking myself, are you serving the same Jesus that I'm serving? Anytime in Scripture, anytime you see Christ interacting with folks who were in need, interacting with folks who were possessed, anytime you met him and you were encumbered with a need in your body, Jesus loved people. Hallelujah. You know the only time that Jesus got salty with folks? It was religious folks who thought they had it all together. Salty is a vernacular word of this generation. It means testy or aggravated, just for all those who are wondering what salty meant right there. Jesus got aggravated with folks who were not in right accord with God and the way that he perceives people. I'm telling you, Jesus is in the people business. If you have an issue with folks around you, you are not in a concordant life with Christ. He loves people. Hallelujah. I'm glad he loves poor people. I'm glad Jesus loves broken people. I'm glad that Jesus loves folks who are messed up. I'm glad that Jesus cares about folks who've been abused and hurt and neglected. I'm glad Jesus loves folks who are wealthy and have been wise with their investments. I'm glad that Jesus loves individuals who are red and yellow, black and white. It might be a children's song, but God forbid if we ever lose the profound idea behind the fact that Jesus loves people. Hallelujah. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He loves me. And that idea blows my mind. The fact that a God in heaven, the God that made the stars, if it's been a while since you've looked up into the atmosphere and seen the handiwork of God, I challenge you, unless it's cloudy tonight, and it probably will be because I told you to do it, I challenge you in the near future, take a minute, go outside, turn the TV off, get disconnected from Facebook, and gaze into the heavens and ask yourself the same thing that the psalmist asked. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I'm telling you, we serve a God that loves and cares about people. Hallelujah. Why? He created them. You see, if we were coming from a humanistic or an evolutionary standpoint, this would be the most far-fetched idea that you could produce, is that there is a God in heaven who loves people. Why? Because they don't believe that you are created by God. Therefore, there cannot be any love from a God. But may I remind you tonight, we serve a God that even right now is walking in the midst of these aisles. He knows where you're at. His eye has been on you continually. He knows if you're hurting or if you're upset. He knows if your body is in pain or if your body is sick tonight. He can see the heart. He can see sin if it's hidden. He can see the joy and the happiness in your life. We serve a God that is actively moving and involved in the lives of people. And if we forget that, we have forgotten that we serve a living God. We serve a God that reigns tonight and rules and governs. Hallelujah. Let's turn tonight to 1 John 4, 7 through 11 will be our text this evening. Amen. We've stood a whole lot tonight. If you want to remain seated, that's all right. I already sang the first two verses, so you don't have to stand if you don't want to, but if you do, go ahead. Beloved, that's you and I. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I want us to understand that right there. You are not living in your own existence. If you have claimed the title of a Christian, you are to be living in the very God that saved your soul. Hallelujah. We might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute for our sins. Hallelujah. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hallelujah. Beloved, Union Road, because God has loved us so much, we ought to love one another. Hallelujah. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would apply it to our hearts in the manner that you would see fit. God, I pray that you would shut up my mind to the truth of your word. God, allow my tongue to become the pen of a ready writer. Allow me to speak forth the truths of your word, God, and to hold back the foolishness of man's thought. I pray tonight that you would help our church, help our body, help our congregation to grow together tonight, closer to one another. God, I rebuke the division that the enemy would love to plant in our hearts. I rebuke the attack of the enemy. I plead the blood of Jesus tonight over this service and over our congregation. Father, you are the giver of life. God, you are the one that breathes hope into our hearts, and you are the one that gives us the direction to go towards heaven. I pray tonight we would hear your voice. God, help us as we continue to serve you with all of our hearts. God, help us to continue to serve together as we continue to serve you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. It is a product of his nature. He's a holy God. He's a God that is without sin. He's a God that cannot change. He's a God that is pure in his righteousness. And yet the Bible also describes him that he is love. It is in his essence that love is produced. Without the love of God, love would be merely a concept that would be foreign to mankind. I believe that we can understand what true love is in our daily lives because God loves us. Hallelujah. God loves you. If you have felt unlovable because of prior mistakes, because of past failures, because of things in your life that the enemy brings up time and time and time again, may I remind you that he is a liar and the father of lies. And he knows that God created you with a purpose. He knows that God is keenly aware of where you're at. And the devil knows you are loved. God loves you tonight. Amen. You may just need to remind yourself of that very statement. It may have been a while since you've actually believed that. But it would be good tonight if all of us would just remind ourselves, God loves me. Could we say that tonight? God loves me. Now tonight, I want to remind you that that is a true statement from the Word of God. He is love. Everything about him screams love. Even in judgment, he loves. Because his judgment screams, I've given you an opportunity and a way of escape. I love you. And if you'll love me, I will pardon this judgment. But if you don't, then you're accepting that those sins that you've committed are higher in your value and your opinion of me than my love is. What was his example of love? The fact that God sent the Son to be the Savior of the whole earth. Hallelujah. God did not send Jesus to only save folks in Dayton, Ohio. God did not send Jesus to only save folks in Israel. God did not save Jesus, or God did not send Jesus to only save folks in the Middle East. God sent Jesus to save the world. Hallelujah. And he came willingly. Glory to God. He loves you tonight. Amen. We are loved. And here is the next part. If we understand tonight that we are loved and we accept his love and we graciously and humbly admit that we are in need of God's love, we reflect his love in our relationship with him. All right? One of the things that Sister Sarah and I have discussed is that in the world that we live in today, divorce is at a 50% rate or higher in the mainstream Christian movement. That equals the numbers that are matched in the world. And so we made a very clear decision that as long as we can live, we will do our best to reflect what a godly marriage looks like based upon the Word of God and the love of God, because there's so many children that do not see it on an everyday basis. The love that we have for each other is reflecting the love that Christ had for us, so that the world can see that God still works in lives, so that young people can see there's still hope. God loves us. And our daily interactions with one another reflect that love. Your interaction with your brothers and sisters reflect the love of God in your life. The interaction that you have with your spouse, with your children, amen, reflects the love that God has for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's a command. It's a command. Amen. When we come into the house of God, we are very keenly aware there is not a single perfect person in this place. That there are folks that have hang-ups, folks that have made mistakes, folks that have fallen short many, many times, folks that have issues, and yet this place is called a sanctuary. This is why we need to love one another. This place is to be a safe haven. A place where we can understand that God is still moving. A place that shuts out the attack of the enemy. And a place where we sense his nearness. Amen. That is why the church is to be a reflecting piece of the love of God. Because we are to be a place of strength. Proverbs 17 describes that a brother is born for adversity. Amen. There are times, and even in the last few weeks as we testified, I was reminded of the strength that can be found in our brothers and sisters just by your faithfulness, by your reports of God moving in your life. It was an uplifting. It was a strength for us. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we are not coming, amen, to see what so-and-so is doing. Amen. That may be one of the biggest detriments of Facebook, is that we have ripped open the curtain of everyone's lives, amen, and can see every fault and failure. Amen. So when we come to the house of God, no longer is our attention upon God. Amen. But we see nothing but what so-and-so did. Amen. And this person and that person. And all of a sudden, our attention becomes upon man and not upon the Messiah. God loves us. Tonight, when we gather into this house, we are gathering under the banner of one body, one church, one family, understanding that we need one another. Amen. Tonight, we had a vast amount of prayer requests. We need one another. We need one another. I need you and you need me. I need you to be faithful. It's a joke that so-and-so's seat, but you know what? We can always tell when it's empty. We need one another. We need you to be there. We need you because we are human and we fall short. We need strength. The second thing is we need support and uplifting. The Bible talks about how that we are to bear one another's burdens, that we are to come along each other and lift each other up. Tonight, as we were pulling into the parking lot, amen, I saw folks in gathering in the parking lot coming into the church, and I told Sarah, I love them. They are awesome, amen, because they're there. They're supporting, amen. Whoever blessed us today in the church, if you're here tonight, thank you for your support, amen. We need one another. Hallelujah. God knows that as humans we must support each other. It is not the will of God to tear each other down, to criticize, to complain, amen, to grumble, to cut down. God's will is to lift each other up, support one another, and make it to heaven as one body and one family. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor said today, and I want to clarify this. This does not say that we excuse sin in any fashion, in any manner. But it's to say that we understand that there are times we mess up, that we are to be there to support and bring back into the fold. The Bible said, restore those who are fallen. Amen. Tonight, God is calling our church to be a church that loves each other and reflects Christ. The Bible said, how will they know that you are my disciples? Because you're dressed right? Because you drive nice cars? Because you love one another. They'll know you're a Christian if you love one another. Now, normally I don't name, specifics, but I think this is one of the clearest examples of why the Westboro Baptist Church is a clear example that they don't know who God is. All right? If you can look at a soldier's family and tell them God killed your son because he's mad at the world and you are hateful all the time, that is a clear example of that you have no idea who Jesus is. I'm sorry, church, but let's call it reality. We are called to love one another. God wants us to be a church that rises up and says, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what the love of God can do in a life. If a drug addict comes in here, God can clean them up like that. And before too long, another person comes in, they don't even know that person was on drugs, because God loves people. God can take somebody who's been hurt and jaded and broken and make them into something that only God could do. Amen. I love and marvel at the idea when new folks come in and they point around and say, you all are perfect, and they don't know that there's folks, I mean, even just a few months before that, that were in the same condition that they're in right now. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Love of God is for strength and support of each other. And thirdly, it's that we speak the same thing. When we love one another, we exemplify the fact that Jesus is working in our midst. And it becomes an anthem of the church. I love coming to Union Road. I told my family the other day, throughout the greatest of trials, I have felt loved and always felt lifted up and supported and nurtured and even safe here. I just feel safe. Church needs to be a place where we speak the same thing in unity. Amen. Diversity is when you have many different people coming in under the same banner. We are diverse here tonight. We all have different backgrounds. We have different beginnings. Some of us were born in Kentucky, some in Texas, other states around the nation. Diversity. None of us are the same. But division is not diversity. Division, amen, die, the prefix meaning two, vision, being a vision, the direction that you're going in. Division always leads to a separate way, a separate walk, a separate place. Amen. It is the way of the enemy. Notice that when the enemy fell, when Satan fell, he convinced a third of the angels to go with him. Division. Amen. The enemy always wants to work in division. Whether it be an elderly person that is offended by a young person, or a young person that is offended when they are corrected, or whether it be an adult that is hurt by another individual, that is the way the enemy works, in division, multiple visions of where we're going. Amen. The path that our church is taking, that is what the enemy wants to produce. But I believe in a God, amen, that can unify by the power of his love. Amen. It is always amazing to me when the Spirit of God begins to hover and manifest itself, and we find ourselves weeping in the altars, amen, and gathering ourselves together in his presence, how we feel so close to one another, how we feel so unified. Amen. That is the desire of God, that we speak the same thing, that we be unified. Amen. Glory to his name. We did a game at Sunset Hills Youth Camp this year, Brother Tim Lorito and I. They have five different sections at the campground. One large section in the middle, two small ones in the inner middle, and then two small ones on the outside. I believe we had around 550-something campers this year. If I remember correctly, it was a little bit lower this year than last year, but that's still a good-sized group of kids. And we did this game. We had everybody stand, all right? Everybody would stand. We're not going to do it tonight because our pews are kind of close together, and I don't want somebody to break a hip. So we're not going to do this tonight. But this is what we did. Everybody stood. And the person, Sister Richmond, can I call you out here for a second? Sister Richmond would be the one that had to win. And Brother Bill, being in the very back, would be the last one to get back to his seat. And they would intertwine throughout the pews, just like a snake. Whatever section went the fastest would win. All right? So we had this huge group of people. And it was awesome. I tried to find the video today, and I couldn't find it. But there was about 200 kids in the middle section, and they were flying. I'm talking flying. It was amazing. And I got to looking over on this side, and they had hardly any kids. We may have had 100 in our section. And it was our section, too. So that made me even more like, what are we doing here, kids? We're losing. All right. So I'm looking over in our section, and they're stopped. They're just stopped. And they're back jammed, way back. And I'm like, what is going on? I mean, they've got 200 people, and they're flying. And I look, one person decided they were not going to play this game. They weren't moving. They had no interest in it. They didn't care about it. They were ready for nachos and an ice cream. They weren't playing. And they sat there, and they looked at the kids. And they didn't move. One person changing course affected every other person in their section. Here you have a group that is double the size of this section. But they all said, we're going to work together, and we're going to do it. And they were the last to get finished, but it was the coolest group to see. They were flying. When we love one another, that screams to the world, this is a church that is together. A church that loves each other screams to the world, there's safety here. There's love here. A church that loves one another, that doesn't criticize or cut down, is a church that God can use. But it is amazing how just one or two people that have a beef with each other can cause so much friction and backlog the whole process. You know what I think tonight the Lord would really like us to do? Let's just bury it. Let's nail it to the cross. If you've been hurt tonight, I want to let you know it happens. And it'll happen in the world too. People are people, and they sometimes say things they don't really mean or do things that they wish they could take back. It might be tonight that as we gather in the altar, we get with somebody and say, you know, brother, I want to say I'm sorry. I apologize. It may be tonight that you've had a grudge or a hurt, a bitterness that you just cannot get past. It might be tonight that when we gather around the altar, we just get alone with Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want to carry this any farther. I'd like to leave it here at the cross because I want to keep going. I want my church to keep going. It may be tonight that we, as a body, just need to ask God, Lord, one more time, remind me who you are. Because if we'll see who Jesus is, Pastor said that this morning, if we'll see who Jesus is, we'll see that we can reflect his love to the world, to our family, to our friends, and maybe even to that person that we don't really care for. Let's stand tonight. The love of God, so rich and full, so measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Hallelujah. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. The Lord is good to us, church. I look around and I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how people love and how people care. I'm amazed at how people work, Sister Ruth. I love it. Let's not throw a cog in the wheel. Let's love each other. Amen. Amen. I don't really know how to... I don't know what altar call to make here, to be honest with you. I feel like I just want to know where Jesus is tonight. Because if I can get to where Jesus is at, he'll put his finger on my heart and speak to me. Church, we need one another. I need you. I need you. And I appreciate the fact that the Lord knows that. He's able to send folks our way to help us, to minister to us. Could we come find a place to pray tonight? Let's find an altar. Amen. Let's seek the Lord tonight and just ask him to minister, to speak to our hearts. Could we do that tonight? Praise the Lord. Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to ask for forgiveness? It might be difficult to do, but I guarantee it'll make you feel a whole lot better. Bitterness is that root that will spring up and divide. Hurt, if we allow it to grow and to fester, will be that thing that causes us to distance ourselves from what the Lord would do. Let's love one another tonight. We need each other. God, encourage my brothers tonight. Lift them up and strengthen them. God, you know what they face as fathers, husbands. Lift them up tonight. God, our young men, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. Help them, Jesus. Father, help our young ladies, God, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Help our mothers here to feel strength, and God, minister to them. Our elderly ladies, God, bless them tonight. Our senior saints, God, lift them up. We need you, Jesus. Encourage us, Lord.
Distant thought, you take my pain. and you lead me to the cross. What love is this, that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me. And hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me? Made a way for me to know you, and I confess you're always enough for me. You're all I need. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made when I'm afraid? You calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same when hope is just a distant thought. You take my pain and you lead me to the cross. And hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me? You're all